Good morning. Yes, get to work, Nate. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So, I got the blessing of opening this morning. And how many of y'all watched The Chosen? And I have watched some of it, and it always wrecks me when I watch it. And so I saw this little video clip of one that I haven't seen. And it's where Jesus is talking to Matthew, and Matthew asks him, "What does this salt of the earth thing mean?" And you know what? I grew up hearing you're to be the salt of the earth. And I'm like, so in my growing up, I'm like, what is salt of the earth? I mean, what does that mean? You know what I mean? And Jesus said, salt stops decay and corruption. And he wants his people to be the salt because he wants them to help push back the evil of the world. Salt also enhances and flavors things. And God wants us to be the flavor that enhances the love and his love in this world and be part of the redemption of this world. And then he said, you know, salt is mixed with honey and put on wounds to heal. And we know, I was just telling, you know, one of our young ladies about using honey, natural local honey for your allergies and stuff. And salt is used in a lot of medications. People don't know that. But a lot of the bases of some medications is salt. And he said, salt heals. And I want my people to participate in the healing of this world, not its destruction. And it is really hard to be the salt sometimes. And salt goes stale when we just set it on a shelf and we don't use it. We want to keep our salt flavorful. And one of the ways you do that is you lift your hands and your voices and praise. And you listen to the lessons and to the wisdom of those teaching you. So let us lift our hands in worship. And I'm just going to pray over the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift this service to you. Lord, for every heart here and every heart online, Lord, and those passing by, Lord, soften their heart to hear your words, Lord. Soften their hearts, Lord. Refresh their salt, Lord. And may your words be spoken and received today. And we pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Here's my heart, Lord, come and fill me once again. I am yours, Lord. Will you use me? Here I am. Here's my heart, Lord, come and fill me once again. I am yours, Lord. Will you use me? Here I am. Oh, to do grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, come and fill me once again. I am yours, Lord. Will you use me? Here I am. Here's my heart, Lord, come and fill me once again. I am yours, Lord. Will you use me? Here I am. Here's my heart, Lord, come and fill me once again. I am yours, Lord. Will you use me? Here I am. Here's my heart, Lord. the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, and your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome.
Just sing this part from our heart.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Play a little bit more there. The darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. submit, Lord, our hearts to you today. Lord, I pray for anyone, Lord, whose heart is heavy, who's maybe sensed a fear or sensed an anxiety, sensed a hesitation in being fully confident of what tomorrow will bring. Jesus, you are the one that conquers our fears. You are the one that stills the storms in our lives. You're the one, Lord, that has made a way where there seemed to be no way. Lord, we just commit to you right now, Lord. Anything that we have in our lives, Lord, that's bringing fear, bringing hesitation, bringing anxiety, Lord, we submit it into your hands. We just say, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence my fears. Jesus, Jesus, you're the one I can trust in. Jesus, Jesus, no other name compares. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hey, Nate, can you put up the bridge of the first song that we sang where it says about the very first song, Reckless Love, that we sang? And it's the one where it's where he kicks down the wall, goes after the 99. Is it there? Keep going. No, I don't see where it kicks down the walls. Okay. So, I know this is going to sound really funny, but every time we sing this song, I get the picture of a ninja warrior. I know that sounds goofy. Bless your hearts. You're stuck with me. But it reminds me of a ninja warrior coming to my rescue. And you know how fast they are and how quick they turn around and they go around and all of that. And how it says there's no mountain, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me, no wall you won't kick down or lie you won't tear down. That's what a ninja does. Now, y'all, if you can't think of Jesus any other way this week, think of him as your personal ninja that is coming to kick down every fear, every lie, every wall, every thought that you have not been able to hold captive because of his power in you. Think about him dancing around you. Can you just see that? Like, that's a beautiful thought of him dancing around you, protecting you. Yeah? So this week, when you're moving into your week, if struggles come up or if things come up that seem insurmountable, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, Jesus. Just call on his name. Jesus, Jesus. Yeah? Jesus, Jesus. You silence fears. Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. You silence fears. Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear. Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah. The Lord is good all the time. Amen. Take a few minutes, greet each other, stay in the atmosphere, see what else the Lord has for us today. Amen. Thank you, team. Okay, praise the Lord. Woo, a little hot. You guys ready to make a declaration? Sure. It's not working. All right. We're going to go ahead and pray over Yakima. Everybody ready? On three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this city, Lord. We thank you for Yakima. Lord, we thank you that no matter what we see in the natural, Lord, what we see with our natural eyes, Lord, you see something different, Lord. You see a city, Lord, where people are being drawn to you. You see a city, Lord, where people are repenting and coming to full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, having the light of the glorious gospel shine on them. Lord, you see marriages that are being restored, even though it looks different. Lord, you see drugs and alcohol abuse and everything being eradicated from this city, Lord. We believe, Lord, what you see about Yakima, Lord, that it's a city of God. It's a place, Lord, where your presence is. So right now, we agree with your heart for this city. We agree, Lord, that you want the best for Yakima. You want the best for the lives of the families in this city. And Lord, I pray right now that you would use us, Lord, in accomplishing all of those things. However you want to do it, however you're going to use us to fulfill it, Lord, we give you permission in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Nancy, are you doing announcements and stuff? Okay.
Just making sure.
All right. So I don't know which announcements we have today, but we'll find out together. How's that sound? Amen. Oh, yeah. Okay. So pre-service prayer, you guys, cannot tell you guys enough. I haven't been the last couple weeks, and that's just because I'm like kind of taking over coffee. So if anybody has a desire to like do the coffee and or feel a calling to that, just let me know. Connect with me. I'd love to work with you on that. Otherwise, pre-service prayer, yes, 9:45 to 10 a.m. downstairs on that side of the church in the prayer room. Just ask one of us. We'll direct you. I really, really, really strongly strongly encourage you guys to come because it just really sets a tone for the rest of the day. Like when we come in, it gives you an opportunity to just begin to lay things down, all the distractions at the Lord's feet, and kind of enter into his presence before you ever even come into service. And when you have that practice and that discipline of doing that, it's amazing at how much more you get out of a service when you're already, your heart's already postured towards him. And then with that comes tithing as well, which is such a beautiful gift of discipline that we get to do, you guys. Like we get to, it's hard sometimes, especially when you're like looking at everything that's coming out versus what's coming in. But when you have that practice of discipline and you give that 10% or whatever you feel to give above and beyond, it's amazing at what the Lord can do and how he blesses you in that, you know. And it is a sacrifice on a lot of occasions. So, but what a beautiful sacrifice, right? Because it's just an incense to his sweet, sweet self. And he is just so, I think, blessed when we're willing to trust him in those arenas of our life. So with that being said, if you feel led to tithe, do you have something you want to add? Yeah, no, he... I think he wanted to share that.
Oh, he wanted to share. Okay, yeah. Save it.
Yeah,
okay.
Next week we'll give you guys the total and what we're, you know, like all that good jazz. Okay, I'll let him do that because I know he was really excited. So you have to come next week if you want to know. But okay, onelifefamilyworship.com. Click give. It'll walk you through what to do. Or if you're old school like me, you can write it in a check or put it in an envelope and put it in the basket. All right. Without further ado,
amen,
Pastor.
Thank you. Is it working? It is. So you see again that it's just me up here. and I am really excited to bring the word today, as I was last time. Last time it was like I was more like, you know, stepping out in faith through the admonition of someone that's actually here today. Thank you, Patrick, for your encouragement. And I wanted to make I wanted to communicate today a truth. And the truth is it's radical because it is the truth. How many of you know that the truth is always radical? It's radical because it's totally opposite of what the world thinks. The truth is something that when it's being proclaimed, a lot of times we'll get kickback on it. It'll get persecuted. It will get challenged. But it is the truth nonetheless. And so the truth I want to proclaim to you today is you are light. You're like, what? No, I'm not light, Pastor. You should see all the stuff that I do. Yeah, I'm not talking about your behavior. I'm talking about the reality of who you are. Yeah. The reality of who I am. That it's not about you know, how we perform that makes us who we are and makes us what we are. It's who God says we are. But we have to believe it. See, the thing is, I think once we start believing what he says we are, that's when we will respond differently in our lives. We'll act differently. We'll live differently. So without further ado, let's get back to the verses that we were at last time. I can do this. Is it working? Yeah. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his inglorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his might. How many have heard that verse before? It's one of my favorite verses. And I've read it for years, and I've always said, Lord, enlighten my eyes. Let my heart know the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, and help me to know the hope of being called in you. All of those things, I pray them over me. Well, how many of you know that there's multiple translations of the Bible out there? And I started reading one this last month. I'm reading through the book of Ephesians, and so I'm reading a little different than I've ever read it before. I'm reading like in usually about 20 different translations, one chapter at a time. So I'm just about ready to finish chapter 6. So it's taken me almost a month. It's a great book. I encourage anyone to read. I mean, I think, like I said last time, I think Ephesians is like one of the gospel types of Paul's writings because it covers so much of what the truth is in us in Christ and in us as Christians. That being said, I've always read this, that having the eyes of your understanding, having the eyes of your hearts being enlightened or having them have them be enlightened. It's almost like he's praying for them to be enlightened. And I read a translation, which I'm going to show you right now, which is the NET. Hello. There we go. And it's called the NET version, and it's basically a newer translation that's really trying to nail down the Greek, the nuances, and so it sometimes is a little different than your NLT or NIV. But I read it, and I underlined what I read, and I went, what? Have I missed this all these years? Let me read 17, 18, 19 again. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you spiritual wisdom and revelation in your growing knowledge of him. Since the eyes of your heart have been enlightened, so that you can know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the incomparable greatness of his power towards us who believe, as displayed in the exercise of his immense strength. Since, it jumped off the page. What? Since? So I started doing some Greek studying and checking. And there's a few translations out there that are what are called literal translations. And the Concordance Literal Version is one. I'm using a remote that's a little slow. Okay. This is the CLV. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and a revelation in the realization of him. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened, for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling, what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints, and what the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing in accord with the operation of the might of his strength. What is that saying, Pastor? It's saying that Paul understood the truth that they had already been enlightened. That it's not something that we're trying to have happen to us. That we're trying to get it in us so that we can know these things. No, it's already happened to us if we know Christ. It's us now experiencing those things. There's a huge difference in the way a lot of Christians believe. A lot of people think we're groping for things to try to get them from God or trying to get some spiritual power for us to live in. But it's all in us. We have the fullness of God, as I've said many times. The scriptures say that. So you are light. But who else is light? God is light. God is light, right? God is light. And we're going to look at a verse. But he is light. He is one that emits everything from him is good. Everything from him is right. There's nothing, it says there's no shadow or turning in him. Which basically means there's no deviation. That he's not good one day and then bad the next. He's all good, which is hard for us to understand. Well, he's all love. And how many know that love's usually always good? When someone's loving us, when we're loving others, it's usually a good situation. Even when people aren't receiving it, there's still our heart giving out love helps us feel like we're being fulfilled, on the right track. So God is light. Let's look at the scripture. This is John 1:5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Would you all agree with that? I'm going to say, amen, Pastor, that's really easy to say, yes, God is light and there is no darkness in him. But can you also say that we are light? How about this one? Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. This is one of those scriptures you need to understand that it's not just Jesus living in you, you're living in him. It's a dual citizenship. It's like you have a citizenship here in this natural life, and Christ is in you in this natural life, but then you have a citizenship now already in heaven, and you dwell in God. I know it seems like hard for our brains to get this, because no, Pastor Mike, I'm in Yakima right now sitting at, you know, some location in longitude and latitude, and that's really where I am, but that's part of an illusion to you, because in Christ we're in another place also. That's why we are not of this world, Jesus said. We're in it, but we're not of it. Means that really we're not from it anymore. We're from God. We've changed our origin. We've changed where we're from. We're no longer from, you know, some hospital over, you know, in Tacoma for me. I'm from the kingdom of God now. I'm no longer, a resident here of just the world. I'm now a true resident in heaven. That's the truth. So, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he abides in love, abides in God, and God in him. Now, here's one of the things we need to understand, that it's in God's love that we abide in him. See, when we're known as being loved, or when we know we're loved, it's easy to let God abide in us. It's easy to let him rest on us. Patrick shared me, and it's from someone that he likes to listen to, but it's basically talking about the Holy Spirit being like a dove and can be fluttery, right? Like you can move quick and the dove can, go away. And I don't think that that's the Holy Spirit leaving us, but it's like being able to sense his presence, being able to follow the voice, being able to hear what he's saying deep in our hearts. If we don't remain sensitive to him, open to him, and not all flighty, so to speak, then we can remain where we're abiding in God, and we're abiding in his love. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, this is a scripture that John G. Lake took, and he started raising the dead. He started transforming Africa. He started transforming Spokane, because he had the revelation that as Jesus is, not when he was on the world, in the world, as Jesus is in heaven, that so was he. And that's one of those truths I'm telling you. Radical truths. Some people will say, oh, that's heresy. Well, no, that's what God says about us. Remember, Jesus, and this is radical, but this is really what God intended. Jesus came to be a man so that we could be like God. Because he didn't want just people from earth that would follow him. He wanted sons and daughters. We are children of God. That means that we have God DNA in us, spiritual DNA. We have God, like I like to say, I've got Jesus flowing through my blood. John G. Lake again, he was in Africa. They were having a plague. People were dying all over the place. And the bodies were just laying all over the place. And so he said, hey, I'll go and help you collect these bodies. It's a plague, It's like, you never know what's going to happen. He goes, no, I'm going to go with you. So he goes in there, and he never got sick, never got the plague. He was right, just in the midst of all the bodies who were dead. You would think, okay, that's probably, getting to the place where you're going to maybe get something. So the doctors said, hey, you haven't gotten this, so we want to take a look at your blood, because maybe we could use this to help with a vaccine or something. So they took a look at his blood, and they took his blood, and they put the disease on his blood. This is for real. This is documented. Put the disease on his blood, and the blood attacked the disease and killed it. So you have that understanding that just as Jesus is now, that's what that word is means. It means as he exists in this present state. And how does Jesus exist in this present state? Glorified. Next to the Father. In heavenly places, just like we're seated in heavenly places. So are we, us, in this world. Okay. We'll see if we can get another one that might help. So if God is light, then you are light. Right? Because we're made in his image when we come to this earth. We're made, in basically like a fallen state, because we haven't come to a place of regeneration in Christ yet. But we're now in his image in Christ. So we're no longer in Adam's image. We're now in Christ's image. Again, this is a truth that we need to get. We need to understand that we are not just earthlings. we're not just Homo sapiens anymore. We're aliens, strangers. We're of another place. And so what does that mean? Just as he is, so are we in this world. So if you are light, then why do you behave the way you do? And why do I behave the way I do? Right? Like, Lord, I don't think light acts like this. Anybody else think like that? I don't think a Christian acts like this is another way we say it. Anybody relate? Yeah. Okay. Let's take a look at another verse here. Maybe. Never mind. It's not cooperating. Oh, no, we're not going to look at another verse. We're going to look at something else here. This is a statement. Years ago, I used to be in a business, and they would say this all the time. And this has been going through my mind. And I'm going to apply it a little bit differently than the way they thought. Because basically, the idea behind this is, I'm not who you think I am. In other words, I'm not truly who you see me to be. And I'm not who I think I am. In other words, there's thoughts and perceptions in myself that make me see myself even different than I truly am. But I am who I think you think I am. So basically, as I think people see me is how I will act, is how this is used. Now, I'm going to apply this biblically speaking. I'm not who you think I am. God's up there. He sees us. He sees us a certain way. He knows all of our potential. He, you know, just like Peter. You know, Peter, like, oh, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinner. You know, after Jesus, you know, gets the boatload of fish. Oh, Simon, you're gonna be catching men. He saw him in who he could be, not who Simon was. Lord, depart from me, a sinner. Do you see that? Simon didn't see himself as he was. Many times, Simon didn't see himself as he was when he was betraying Jesus. You know, denying him, saying, no, I don't know him. I've never met him. Had he known who he was, like John, he would have been sitting at the foot of the cross. I'm telling you, had Peter known who he was then, as Jesus saw him, the one who said, feed my sheep later on to restore him, he would have been at the foot of the cross, just like John was. I think John knew who he was. John knew the love of God. So I'm not who I think I am as a Christian. You know, I have all these fallacies. I have all these things that make me think I'm less than really something. I'm not measuring up as a Christian. I fall all the time. I make mistakes. And so we get this perception of who we are. Just a sinner saved by grace. There's some truth to that, but that's not who I am anymore. I was a sinner, I was saved by grace, but now I'm a son. Now I'm moving from glory to glory every day, or glory to glory every year, however, we're glory to glory every moment, depending upon how we receive. But I am who I think you think I am. So, in other words, if I can receive from God who he sees me as and how he sees me in this life, as far as my successes, my strengths, my supernatural empowerment, then I will be that. So how does this apply? You are light. Well, you have to start believing that. You have to start believing that when Jesus said it is finished, he didn't mean that you were just saved so you don't have to go to hell, or that you just get to someday go to heaven. No, it's so that heaven comes down now and resides in you. That the eternal life that raised him from the dead, the eternal power of the Holy Spirit, now lives in us. And so we're light. We're not darkness. Not working. Worked for a bit. Gotta love technology, right? Amen. Okay, here's another verse that hopefully will start qualifying some things. This is Ephesians 5:8 in a few different translations, starting with the NAT. For you were at one time darkness. Ugh. When it wasn't saved, it was really a bad guy. You can ask my mom. I just did all kinds of horrible things before I was saved. But now you are light in the Lord. Live like children of light. Complete Jewish Bible, for those of you who like to be part of the Jewish crowd. For you used to be darkness. Used to be darkness. So be. In other words, you were. But now united with the Lord. See, that's the key. We're united with the Lord. You are light. Live like children of light. And then the William says this, for at one time you were darkness itself, but now in union, what does that mean? Union means that he abides in me and I abide in him. Union is kind of a word that's part of communion. It means that common union, communion. In other words, what's yours is mine, what's mine is mine. Well, what's yours is mine, what's mine is not. What's yours is mine, what's mine is yours. In other words, there's a sharing, there's this partnership. But now in union with the Lord, you are light itself. You must live like children of light. So how do we live like children of light? Believe it. Believe it. If you start believing you're a child of light and start receiving that truth in your heart, you'll start living like a child of light. You won't live like a child of darkness. Because the darkness is not who we are anymore. We used to be darkness itself. But now we're in union with Christ and we are light itself. Amen? Still not doing it. Oh, it's working again. Just had to tweak it. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 6. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness for the day to overtake you like a thief would. For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then we must not sleep as the rest, but must stay alert and sober. We're not of the darkness. So if we're not of the darkness, then what are we? We are light. We are light. You know, I know a lot of us say, well, I'm the light of the world. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And so what we think is, in contrast to the world, we're a little less dark. No, please don't think that way. But most of us think that way. I'm the light of the world. It means I'm going to show something to them. Maybe I'll be able to share a verse with them. No, we're the light of the world. That means as Jesus would be lighting up the world, we're to light up this world. The same way. And God's not up there going, oh, my people, they're outshining me. And so I just want them to just, you know, dim down a little bit because they're, no, we're going to bring glory to God when we shine like Jesus. And you know who we're going to point to? It's all God. It's not us. He's the one who accomplished everything. He's the one who made us light. He has made us light, not darkness. Are we getting it? Maybe? Okay. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So, some translation says he's rescued us. Some say that he saved us. But basically, he has gotten us from the domain of darkness, which whose domain is that? The devil's, Satan's, the fallen world. He's delivered us and he's put us in the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we have been moved. Some translations say we've been translated. Same thing that was spoken of Enoch, that we were taken out of. So if we've been taken out of darkness, what does that make us? Light. The kingdom of God is light. It says in the book of Revelation that there will be no need for a sun or a moon. Why? Because God gives it the light. And I believe that us also, the carriers of that light, will bring the light as well. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone, in other words, has emitted into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So it's like this. When we get saved, can you come here? Nate, help me out a second. When you got saved, Nate, it wasn't just that you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Yeah. It's like God said, let there be light.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let there be light. In other words, your heart got filled with the light of God.
Yeah.
Your heart was illuminated with the truths and the realities of what it means to be a child of God. Amen?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Nice swagger. Okay. This is 1 John 5 through 7. So we just read this earlier, but now I'm going to read it in more context. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So this is kind of a key of why we don't walk in the light. And what is it? It's that we also have an opportunity to walk in darkness. It's our choice. It's up to us. We could either be all light, or we can also just be all darkness, or we can be light and then dabble in the darkness. And if we do that, we lie. Because what's that mean? It means it's not truth. And what is truth? We're light. So it's almost like we're fooling ourselves and we don't believe it, as the song says. In other words, we think we're really living for God, but we're not, because we aren't living to the full potential. And I'm telling you, this is not something you can muster up in your own strength to walk in light, to be light. It's something you have to receive from above. That's why I'm communicating it today. You are light. You are light. Not just the light of the world, but you are light, just as God is light. Because as he is, what? So are we in this world. Okay. Okay, we're going to go back to this again. Now, since we've talked about all of that, about I'm not who I think I am, I'm not who you think I am, I am who I think you think I am. I'm not just here, you know, on this earth, and that's my only origin. My origin is now truly from heaven, as we understand that. We understand that God spoke into us, shone in our hearts, just as he did that when he said, let there be light in the world was created, or the light. It basically was the darkness was pierced by the light that was created in Genesis 1. He now has, since the eyes of your heart have been enlightened. So now we can read this differently. Since, because your hearts have been enlightened, because you are light, because you have been transformed and transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love, into the kingdom of light. Because of that, now you can know what is the hope of his calling. Not wonder, not maybe. No, you can know the hope of his calling. That's what Paul's praying. Since you have been enlightened, I want you to know the hope of his calling that's already in you. What is the wealth, the riches of the glorious of inheritance in the saints? It's not just about, you know, getting by as Christians. We're not supposed to be get by people. Because I believe that even when Paul was in prison, he was excelling. I believe when people were being persecuted back then, they were excelling. For some reason today, I don't know what it is, but we think that when life's going bad, that's a reflection of who we are in Christ. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Our circumstances do not dictate who we are. Our circumstances do not dictate how successful we are in Christ. What dictates that is what he says about us. So since our hearts have been enlightened, now we can know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? What is that word hope? Hope is the one thing that's necessary for faith. If you remember in Hebrews 11, it says that faith is a substance of things hoped for. We can put a hope in his calling. We can put a hope in what God has called us to. We can say, Lord, I know that I can't see everything that you have for me right now, but I'm going to put a hope in the fact that you have something for me. You have something great for my life, even though I can't see it right now. You have a plan for my life, even though I can't see it all right now. Even though it all looks kind of muddy and murky and it doesn't make sense. I believe that you have put your light in me, and so I'm believing that I'm going to see the hope of what you have for me. What is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the incomparable greatness of his power towards us who believe? That same power is that dunamis power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It gives life to our mortal bodies. We are light. We are the light of the world, but we are more than that. We are light. We are not darkness. And we don't have to behave in ways that are contrary to what this word says. We don't have to. So how do we change? We change by communicating a different way to ourselves, number one. We quit saying, oh, I did it again. This is the way I always... We have to stop that. We have to say what God says about us. How do you know what God says about you? You have to read his word. Because then you're operating in ignorance. I don't care how much light you have in you. If you're not putting the word in you, the world's going to bombard you with lies that will overwhelm your heart. And you're not going to read the word, you know, to make it some kind of quota. Read the word to find out what God has for you. Get that rhema word, that word directly spoken by God to you that changes things, transforms things. I mean, I've received rhema words before, and I literally changed the way that I believed as a Christian because God spoke something to me. I think this kind of became a rhema word to me, sense the eyes of your heart. I don't know why God didn't show that to me, you know, 10 years ago. Probably wouldn't have been ready for it. Probably just, oh, yeah, whatever. But this time it jumped off the page, jumped into my heart, and came alive. And so now what I want is this truth that's been put in my heart, I want it to become flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what does that mean? It means that literally Jesus came from heaven, the word, Christ came and dwelt among us, and that word became flesh. Same thing happens to us. When we get a word from God, we can take it on and it becomes flesh in us. In other words, we live it out now. We walk in the light, as it said. We walk in the way that we're now receiving the truth. And we change. Another level of glory. We renew our minds, so to speak, as Romans 12:2 says. Not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosized, by the renewing of our mind. So that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is going to help us prove this in our lives. In other words, we'll be able to say, oh, I can say that's going to be a reality. It's not just something I'm hoping for anymore. I believe it's going to take place because God said it about me, said it about his church, said it about us. You have to get excited about being light. You have to get excited about being taken out of darkness. You have to get excited about being full of the power of God. Because if we're not excited about it, it means we don't think we have it. Because if I gave you $1 million right now, you guys would all be excited. You'd be going, okay, what am I going to buy? Right? Because you possess it. You possess being light. You possess no longer being having to conform to this world. You possess it. But the problem is we don't see it in our hands right now. It's not tangible. It's that thing that Paul talks about, to not look at the things that are seen, but look at the things that are unseen. Because the things that are seen are temporary. They're fleeting. They're going to go away tomorrow. And when I say tomorrow, I mean like when it all wraps up. It'll seem like tomorrow, guys. It's a vapor. This life's a vapor. That's all temporary. But if we can set our eyes on the eternal, we're light. We're seated in heavenly places. Things that you can't see, set your mind and your heart on those. Set your mind on Jesus. That's what it's talking about. Am I getting through? Are you getting it? You are? So can we all just get a little excited about being light? We are light. We're not darkness. We don't have to behave like darkness. We can behave like light. We can walk in the light because we have the light. We know the light. Who is the light? Jesus. He's the very one that gives us life. But he doesn't just give us life. He gives us light. And if we are light, then we do not have to be darkness. I believe you can't be good and bad at the same time. I believe, you know, you can't be muddy water and clean water at the same time. The mud mixes with the water, the clean water, it's no longer clean water, right? You can't put enough clean water in mud to get it clean. Clean water is just clean. So either we can walk in cleanness, wholeness, pureness, truth, reality, who we are. The other thing's a lie. When we act that way, that's not who we are. We're not being who we were created to be, not created by, you know, our birth. And I'm talking about created when God spoke, like I did to you, you're full of light. You're not just full of light, you're full of me now. You're full of him. You've got so much in him that it can overflow if you let it. Let's see if we got anything else. Darkness, that's not us. We are light. We're the light of God. So, is there anybody here that wants to today receive that truth in their heart like afresh and anew, like I do? If that's you, I'm not saying that you have to have this to prove that you're saved. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do you want to capture in your heart that truth once again, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? You know, when we're singing about Jesus, he makes the darkness tremble. Guys, so do we. If we walked truly as we're to walk as believers, we would make the darkness tremble. And we probably do. We don't realize it. There's times we probably walk in a room. We just think, oh, I'm walking in a room. And there's demons that were having their way in the room before we got there. And now they're shuddering in the corner, waiting for us to leave. But we don't see it. Why? Because we're light. God made us that way. I'm not saying it in some arrogant, you know, pompous, no, in full humility. Lord, I don't know why you did it, but you made me light. Yeah. You made me victorious. When I deserved, you know, death, hell, you took it for me, right? Yeah. He made it. He chose it. How does he see us? How does he see you? Think about it. Receive it and change. Because you will. You won't remain the same. You'll be different if you can receive the truth that you're light. I'm going to give you a testimony that, and it's hard for me. I have to tell you, it's not easy. I struggle with this because it goes against the grain of what I've been taught as a Christian, and, you know, and almost a false humility. But I was reading through Galatians 5, and I came across the fruit of the Spirit, and I taught on them, you know. And again, it's fruit, by the way, singular. It's the Holy Spirit emitting all those different characteristics in us. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, you know, all of them. Long-suffering, self-control, meekness, all of those attributes, those nine attributes, are part of one fruit of the Spirit. And that's not all. You know, Paul's writing attributes that he's thinking of. And, you know, you could say, those are just the nine. No, there's more. And there's more diversities to it. But it's the Holy Spirit that is given to us, right? How many of you believe we all have received the fullness of the Spirit? That it's not just partially passed out. That we receive God. When we receive God, we don't just receive, you know, like a dip in the water. We receive all of Him. We receive the Spirit. We don't, you know, the same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. Now, do we all walk in that way? No. But we all have Him, right? We all have the Holy Spirit, right? We all have that it says that it's the down payment of the purchased possession. It's the seal that we receive, that we know that we're saved. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I'm trying to remember where I was going with this. Does anybody remember what I was saying? What? Testimony, yes. Fruit of the Spirit. That's what I know. Fruit of the Spirit. So I'm sitting there and I've been, you know, praying, Lord, I want your love, I want all of those attributes to start working in me, you know. And as I come to more and more of this revelation that as He is, so are we in this world, as radical as that is, it's radical. I'm telling you, it's a radical truth. I started praying, Lord, because of what you've done, I am love. I am joy. I am peace. I am patience. I am kindness. I am goodness. I am meekness. I am faithfulness. I am self-control. Why? Not because I'm something special, but because God put His light in me, put the Holy Spirit in me. And because of who He is, I am. You know, that's what they crucified Jesus for. Comparing Himself to God. Is it true? I mean, did we just see through the Scriptures? We did. We are light. But we don't believe that we truly can achieve that. Because of, for whatever reason, our mistakes, our lack of understanding, our lack of devotion, all of these things, excuses that we put up in our hearts that keep us from being who He wants us to be. I don't have it here, but I'm going to read it real quick. This is, if you want to, you can turn to Romans 8 with me. Romans 8. 28. Ooh, Romans 8, 28. That's a hefty one, isn't it? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, when we go through hard times, difficult times, it's so that we be conformed to the image of Christ. So what does that mean? I believe that God allows things to come up in our lives so that we can start receiving these truths. Now, I'm not talking about us going off and doing our own thing and getting in sin. And I'm talking about problems. I'm talking about tribulations. I'm talking about trials. I'm talking about struggles. All of the things that life delivers. In this life, you'll have tribulations, Jesus said. But be of good cheer. I've overcome it. I've overcome all of it. But it's so that we can be like Jesus. 2 Peter 1. Three. as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I told you, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. See, it's through the knowledge. It's through knowing him, knowing his love, knowing his character, knowing his nature, knowing that he's all good, no shadow or turning. See, some of us may have had experiences in our life that we are not sure that God's all good. You know, he's got some plans sometimes that I don't necessarily agree with. I don't like the way that you know, such and such happened, or he allowed this, or some say, or he did this. And so we get this idea that of him is skewed. So if our idea of him is skewed, what about ourselves? See, if we don't know God as he is and as he intends us to know him, then we're going to view him based upon what we think he is, which is idolatry. Ugh. That's what idolatry is. It's where you have created a God that you worship. We need to know God in who he says he is and believe that about him, not who we think he is because of our experiences or what somebody else has told us about him, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. When I read this for the first time, I was like, what? When my eyes opened, partakers of the divine nature, what does that mean? You know, that's when I was like still in my performance mode and everything. Divine nature, I mean, it's through the promises? What's that mean? It's through the word. It's through the rhema's getting spoken to our hearts. Maybe today a rhema's coming to you. I mean, I don't know. It's up to you. It's up to what the ground's like in your heart right now. Are you receiving this word? But I encourage you to at least go back to these scriptures and say, Lord, if there's something here for me right now, let me receive it. Because you said I'm light. I don't think I am. And when I look in the mirror, I don't see light. I see a bunch of baggage. I see a bunch of luggage that I'm carrying around full of all kinds of stuff that I've done. But you say I'm light. Help me believe that. Help me believe that in such a way that I live like light. I walk in light. I bring light into the room when I come in. Through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust. Being attracted to other things. That's probably what gets the United States more than anything, the Western church, is so much more stuff to be attracted to. I say that myself, you know, indicting myself. There's just so much. I mean, we're without, I mean, you know, it's only going to get worse, you know, as you know, the full immersion of the 3D worlds come, you know, which is probably only a few years away. Someone is going to get in, go into a place, and they're going to be totally separated from this reality. Talk about being, you know, distracted and lustful. I mean, the enemy's trying to get it so people have no choice but to not look at God because there's so much. Hopefully their hearts will become empty and feel wanting and they still will turn to him. But so we need to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it proceeds issues of life. And to me, the issues of life is the truth about life. Not just, you know, if I'm having a good day or a bad day. I mean, truly, who am I? Who am I, God? Start asking him that. Lord, who am I? I know who I think I am. You know, I know what I think you think about me, but what do you really think about me? Why did you plant me here in 2023? In this time, why am I here? What am I to fulfill in this kingdom purpose? Because obviously I'm not here by accident. You have chosen for me to be here. Those are conversations to have with God. Why? So you can build up hope in your heart. the hope of your calling. Okay, I could go on longer, I can tell, but I'm gonna wrap it. So if you want more light in your life, if you want to be light, then just as you can just raise your hand or put your hand over your heart as I pray. Father, you have declared, Lord, through your word, radical things. Things that our natural mind, we can't grasp it. We can't comprehend it, Lord, in our own understanding. But Lord, you have given us the mind of Christ. So right now I declare in Jesus' name that the mind of Christ become active in us. And let us receive, Lord, the truth and the reality of who we are. That we're not just, you know, blob here on this earth just trying to make our way till we finally get off, Lord. But we are your children. We are your sons and daughters. We are light in the Lord because we have union with you. You abide in us and we abide in you. Lord, let that reality, let that truth, Lord, be made known to us so much that we can't help but change. That we can't help but make a difference, Lord, in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces, Lord. Lord, I just thank you that you are destroying right now those high things that have exalted themselves in our lives above the knowledge of the will of God. Lord, that you're letting us start to learn to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Lord, give us a hunger for your word like never before. Lord, let us devour your word, Lord, like necessary food, Lord, that will bring us, Lord, to greater renewal of our mind, Lord, a greater understanding, Lord, of who you are and who we are and what we can be, what you've called us to. Lord, I thank you for every person, Lord, here right now. And I thank you, Lord, that they're here in 2023 for a divine purpose and a divine reason. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal that to all of us in a greater way in the coming days. And we just bless the name of Jesus because you're the one, Lord, that's done it all. You're the one that made a way where there was no way. You're the one, Lord, that opened up our Red Sea and got us in through the devil's destroying power and got us into a promised land. And we receive that truth right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, be blessed. Be the light that you are. Amen.